See, guys, just squeeze that juice for you.
Miss Eden?
Lord, Lord.
I think you're going to leave. And we thought we might, maybe one or two things we better catch up on.
Yeah?
Yeah, we got some fresh juice there.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You never get enough juice.
I heard yesterday, you see, that John Palmer was about done.
Yeah.
So, gee, as I come back to the store, or I went down to the store, and I asked him in the store, and they said, well, he's just about the same as he was yesterday, and that they was going to move him into a different room. Well, just about that time, his sister come in the store. So I asked her if she'd heard anything new from John. And, Jesus, she started to bawl. And she says, you know, John is done. Well, I says, I feel just about as bad about it as you do, because John has always been just like a brother to me. And I've always thought as much of him as I do my own brothers. And, well, she said that they appreciated that, and they knew that I thought an awful lot of John the way I sent him flowers when he was in Ocala in the hospital, see. Uh-huh. Well, I said as soon as he gets into another room by himself so he can up in Gainesville, I'm going to send him some more flowers. She began to sniffle again, and she said, you ain't going to have to.
Oh.
So I know they haven't given him much hope, you know, from the time that he was first shot. But they thought that he was having a little more feeling come back into his, you see, he was paralyzed from his back down.
Mm-hmm.
But he was having a little more feeling come in, and they said he could wiggle his toes, see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that showed that he was a gaining in one way. Jesus, I don't know. I haven't heard anything this morning, but that's what his sister, she was on her way up there to the hospital when she stopped in at the store.
Oh, I see. We were down at the store yesterday.
You was down.
Yeah, and that was his sister, the sister I hadn't seen. She just talks right along, Miss Eastman. You can find out something from her. Now, maybe both his sisters talk.
Yeah, well, he's got three sisters there at home, you know.
No, I didn't. Mm-hmm.
No. I thought this one didn't live at his home place.
Well, I don't think she does.
Uh-huh.
No, she's got a home of her own, but... I guess that John takes care of her just the same as he does the other two.
Oh.
Of course, the other two there, one of them was a school teacher all of her life, and the other, I guess, worked in an office somewhere, see? But when their mother got bad, the one of them come home first.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm the school teacher. She was teaching school in Georgia. You see, they've got a brother up there in Georgia someplace. I don't know just where.
He's the one that raises them big pecans.
Yeah. They sold 150 tons of pecans a year ago. Now, that's a lot of pecans, you know.
Oh,
it?
Lord.
Woo. You mean that many? Man alive.
Yeah, that's what John told me. They sold over 150 tons of pecans.
150 bushels, 150...
But tons, Mr. Eastman.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Well, Jesus, John had... I'll bet he had a ton of them down here.
Yeah.
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 Jesus, he was selling a pile of them, you know, them goddamn bags was about that big around, you know, and they stood up about that high. And I guess it had about 200 pounds in a bag.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because, Jesus, it was all the two men could do to to wiggle a bag of them things there, you know.
I don't guess I ever saw him handle, Mr. Eastman.
You see, this man Penley lives up there not too far from this brother. And when Penley come down with a truck, he brought him down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Now, you haven't seen the brother.
Huh?
You haven't seen the brother.
Haven't seen who?
The brother.
No. Not lately.
But you have seen him.
Yeah.
You have seen Mr. Palmer's brother up there.
Yeah.
You know him.
I see him once down there in the store, but Jesus, I wouldn't know him if I see him out around here somewhere.
Yeah. You didn't talk to him?
Not too much.
Yeah. Well, I guess if he got that many pecans, Mr. Eastman, he's an important feller in the community, wouldn't you think?
Right, well to do.
But John's got a bunch of them pecans down here now, you know. Gee, you know, 85 cents a pound.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. 10 pounds for $7.50.
Look at that. That's about the price of sugar, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just bad.
Yeah. But Caesar, what were we talking about down at your house when I stopped by there?
Dad, I don't know, I forgot.
I'm trying to think.
Hello? Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Yep.
Well,
he has left this morning at 6 o'clock for Sebring.
I just love pecans.
Yeah.
Huh?
I love pecans.
Yeah.
I could just eat a whole...
All right.
Well, I like good fresh pecans.
Well,
okay. We're
looking for markets. We're looking for...
get hard. I can't hardly chew them, you know. But
keep your...
I used to, but my teeth are bad now.
We got to make a go of it.
How about this?
Oh, dear. Just not too much now. Oh.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think there's some seeds there.
All right.
Can you manage not to?
All right. We need a market, and I've got a woman from down the far side of the county who's going to take a little hand in it, I think. So we'll see about that. Right. See you, Mark. Mr. How's your citrus crop, Mr. Eastman?
Well, we haven't got as many as what we had last year.
You had a good crop last year.
Well, we had quite a few. And Evelyn brought in two. Or I don't know how many she brought in, but she got out two of them navel oranges. They was about that big around.
Yeah.
This morning for me to squeeze the juice out.
Oh.
Jesus, I cut one of them in two, and one of them made two glasses.
Uh-huh.
So all I had to use was one. And geez, it was nice and sweet. You
yeah.
see that cold weather, you know, just sweetened them up.
Yeah.
Navels.
Yeah.
They were navels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a few of them early Richardsons, not too many. We got... I don't know, 40, 50, I guess, of them. So, then we got a few of them Parson Browns. Did a few of them white ones, them Valencias. That is, they were supposed to be a Valencia, but Jesus, the Valencias, you know, aren't supposed to get ripe until spring. But these come right along pretty good, so that I sometimes wonder if they are Valencias.
Yeah.
I bought the tree for at Valencia when I bought it, but...
Yeah. Well, it tastes good. That's the chief thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I went up to that Doc Strange's funeral yesterday morning.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Well, I got up there, oh, they was probably 25 men standing outside there. And they was coming and going and registering, and the couples are going in the church. And so I went over and registered, and I followed along in the church, and Jesus, I see. There's all women in there. Well, in the back, on the back side there, there was, 15 or 20 of these steel chairs set back in there, and this funeral director says to me, back in there. So, Jesus, I went back, and I thought, Jesus, I'd get clear over in the corner, get out of the other one's way, so they wouldn't have to step over me going by. So I went over there and sat down. Jesus, I see that there wasn't only one other fellow in there, and that was Bill Latin, you know. Gene Latin worked for Doc Strange in the office down there, Salon, and she and him were sitting in there. And I was the only other fellow sitting down in there. The rest of them was all women in there, and the church was pretty near filled up. Well, Jesus, they kept coming in, and they got all filled up, and these women started filling in these metal chairs. Well, now the first thing I knew, the metal chairs were all filled up with women, and here I was back in the corner alone. So I thought I'd better get out of there. So I stood up, and there was a couple of women come in, and they were looking, and just one of them come on over here. She said, no, she said, you're older than I am, you keep your seat. I said, no, you come on. And I walked along on out, and she come over and took the seat there. And I went outdoors, and geez, you know, there was about, 100 or better men out there by that time. And, you know, they was a-shivering out there in that cold wind and shaking. You'd have thought for some of them hula dancers dancing the hula out there the way they were shivering and shaking. And I said to myself, by Jesus, now this ain't no place for old art. But God, you catch your death of cold. I said, I'm going home. So I went over and got in my car and come home. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus, there's an awful crowd there. And I bet they were between 50 and 100 colored ones.
Oh. Is that right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure they were.
And there was one colored woman there that I thought was the best dressed woman in the whole bunch. Boy, now she was really dolled, and don't you think she wasn't?
What'd she look like?
Huh?
What'd she have on?
Oh, geez, she had a nice mink coat on, and oh, God, she was all dolled up, you know, and she had quite a few gold teeth, and they all sparkled a bit all every time she said anything, and had a white hat that was cocked a little bit on one side with a black feather in it, and boy, that just really set her off.
You never seen her before.
It's always hard for me to tell one colored one from another one anyway.
Me Jesus. Too.
My God, I see them by the hundred, you know, and I can't tell them apart. I've got to be pretty damn well acquainted with them before I can tell them, you know.
Yeah,
me too. I used to think they all had the same names, too.
Nerd. Jesus.
Yeah.
I know there was one come into John Palmer's yesterday, you know, and he was a grinning to beat all. And Jesus, I went up and I slapped him on the back and said, by God, I've seen you somewhere. Yeah, he said, I think you have. I'll help you put the pump down up there. You know, Jesus, they just about all look alike to me. And old John Palmer, Jesus, they'd come in down there, you know, and John would call every one of them by name.
Yeah. Even from the back, he'd be sitting at the back, he'd know who they were and they came in the door.
Yeah. Huh. I know there was one woman come in there one day, and she wanted to know if she could get trusted for $10 worth of groceries. John says, yes, if you'll tell me the truth. He said, God, you ain't told me the truth in 10 years. But I happened to know her because she worked in the restaurant over here quite a lot, see?
Well,
somebody like that that I'd seen a good many times in there. Well, I know who they are.
Don't you know John was full of them things? He knew what they were going to tell him before they told him.
Yeah.
And I guess the truth was the last thing he expected.
Yeah. But that's what the trouble was with John, you know. You see, they were 26 of them that he sued in small claims court for money that was owed to him.
Recently?
Yeah. Well, they was out of the 26, they said that there were 16 of them come in and paid up or made arrangements to pay. And the other 10 was madder than the devil. Well, I just got an idea. It was one of them that was madder than the devil was the one that shot John. But you see, John hasn't come to enough to tell him much about it. You see, he'd come to and they started asking him something and he started telling him he's gone. So he did tell them that he couldn't tell whether they was black or white, because they probably had something pulled over their head, don't you see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they asked him if he recognized the car, and he said he thought so, but it didn't have no license on it.
Yeah. So they were fixed up for it.
You don't think they just wanted to rob him?
No. No, they didn't stop at all. They were just bent on killing him. See, and they had that buckshot in there, you know, and Jesus, that's a pretty big shot. And I just got an idea they had the gun leveled right at his head, and the damn jerk of the car, see, made it come down just a little bit and hit him right in here in the shoulder, see? He went right in and just tore his back right off.
No, they wouldn't use buckshot just to hold a man up.
No.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't stop, you know, if they'd been going to rob him, they'd have stopped and got his money. But they never stopped. They just kept right on going.
He ran into that pole.
Yeah, sure. Broke the pole right off the top of the ground here. I went around that way purpose to see. And then it broke it off right under the wire, see? And that part in between lays out on the ground there.
Oh, really?
Well, then one of the wires snapped off and come down on the car, see? And that's what set it on fire. Well, the fellow that come right along behind him was this Hoot Gibson, and he's an electric light fella. And so he knew just what to do to get that wire off in that car, see? And they got the wire off in the car and put the fire out before they could get John out. Well, then you see, he just talked right in on his microphone there to the power company and told them to send him some help right off quick, see? And so that they sent help right there. Well, then they said the deputy sheriff happened to come along. Or road patrol or something, one of the, I don't know whether they said deputy sheriff or road patrol or something, but it might be that the, his calling right in on the short wave, they tell or call it their way, they might have put somebody in touch within this up in that section, see, to run over there.
Yeah.
And by that time, the people who shot him were way away.
Oh, hell yeah, they were miles away. Now, this morning's paper, there's some fellow from Merritt Island claims that he had been up here to Gainesville for something, and when he come down through Payne's Prairie, he thinks that somebody shot at him because he saw the flash and one thing and another, and he was talking on the on his shortwave radio with some ham operator in Stark, And he told him he thought that somebody had shot at him. And he said, oh, he said, probably somebody threw some firecrackers out of the car window. So, whether that fellow just wants to get some publicity or whether it's so or not, you don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a heck of a bad go any way you want to put it. And geez, you know, well, a week ago Saturday, they had the auction down there at Orange Lake, and they had this big pipe vice. See, there was a hell of a big one.
Oh, yes, yes.
And
I'd forgotten that.
John needed a pipe vice down there, so I bought that pipe vice, and I took it down. I got down there, and there was some other fellow there, and they were trying to cut threads on a 2-inch pipe. And the old pipe vice had been broke for 3-4 years, and I'd been after John to buy a new vice, and Jesus, you know. He said that they wanted too much. He said that he'd stopped in Ocala down there to Marion Hardware. They wanted $121 for a pipe vice that he wanted to put on out there. And they were trying to work that on there and trying to hold it in the vice, you know, and the vice kept on catching on the top, and they were having a devil time trying to hold a pipe with a 2-foot pipe wrench, and one was trying to hold the pipe and the other was trying to thread it, and they were having a devil of a time. I went out and I said, John, I had the pipe vice in my hand. I said, I got a pipe vice to sell you. He said, how much, Artie? I said, $20. By God, you put it right on the tree, he says. And quick as I helped him get that thread on the pipe there, and we got that on there, so then I tore the old vice off in the tree, and I had to chop out a little bit to get a couple of plank in there, because a bigger vice, you know, put a couple of plank into the tree there to fasten the vice onto, got that fastened on, and the vice on there, and one thing and another, and John come out, he says, I'm going to pay you, he says, before you get done, because I want you to do a good job. And geez, he gave me $10 for putting that vice on the tree. Yes, sir. And I come out pretty good on the vice. Well.
But you found it fine.
Huh?
You found it fine.
Yeah.
Oh, you got that at the auction.
Yeah, I bought it to the auction, took it down and sold it to John.
Well, how did you happen to get away with that at $20? That ain't much for a pipe vice, Mr. Easton.
No, I know it. That was a hell of a good vice. On the other hand, you know, I hated to sell it to John because I could have used a big vice like that myself. I always had a big one up home.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't get no big pipe vice. Pipe down here to thread or anything, and 2 inches is about the biggest. Well, I've got vices that'll hold a 2-inch pipe, but that was a heck of a nice vice.
Oh boy!
Well, how'd you happen to get it, Missy?
Well, I don't know. There wasn't too many that was interested in it, don't you see?
Yeah. Not many people there.
Well, they were probably. Close to 100 people.
Golly, I didn't know that many people went.
Yeah. But down there, one auction they had, they wasn't only, I think they either 55 or 60 people there, but that was the smallest auction they had.
Have it every Saturday night?
No, that was Saturday afternoon they had it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yes. When'd you rather have it? Saturday afternoon or Saturday night?
I'd rather have it Saturday night for me.
Yeah. Then you're free Saturday afternoon to do what you need to do. Yeah. Mr. Eastman, let me tell you, that's an old pipe. It goes from here out that water thing there. And also on these side hydrants.
Well, how did it get broke?
I don't know. It's close to the ground. The ground's soft there. And it ain't very
well. We'll go out and see how we can do with it.
All right. We'll see. I dug it up yesterday. Found out what the trouble was. Let me tell you, that attic fan, I use it, I'm still using it. Of course, I don't use it over 15 minutes at a time. Does that ever need any greasing?
Well, I don't know. I ought to definitely put it in up there. But from what little that you use it there, I don't know if it would need any oil for till next summer.
What would you do? Just put motor oil on it?
Yeah, there's oil holes in it.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
And there's no place for grease.
No, it's all oil, I think.
Yes. How many?
Well, I think there's two on the motor.
Oh.
One or two on the fan itself.
Well, it wouldn't hurt. I could get up there and look around, couldn't I? Yeah. Could you look at this this roof up here on this end and say about how many shingles to get?
Yeah.
And the first time we're down to, where would you get them? Scotty's?
Well, I buy a lot of roofing down to Scotty's.
Scotty's or Sears?
Well, I never bought any of the Sears. But I think the Sears is a little bit higher than Scotty's.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, the termites got one piece of timber in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could put that in, but I don't know. I haven't gotten the timber to put in. You know, that timber's short in this season.
Gee, the timbers cost money. I bought...
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. That's what it was.
What you were talking about.
I bought three of them, 2x12, 14 feet long. And you know, they cost me almost over $27, almost $28 for them three plank.
But they're long ones.
Yeah, they're 14 foot.
14 foot, say.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're 12 inch, 2x12 boards. And they look solid, Miss Eastman.
Mm-hmm.
What are they made of? What are they?
Pine.
Yeah. Well, now you got a workbench there that'll be there.
Hmm?
That's a workbench. It'll be right there.
Yeah, that makes
Is that good. What you made it for? You got it for?
Yeah.
Right over there in his shed.
Yeah, it's in the southeast corner.
Right in the far corner there. That's a good place.
So any of that lumber, even two before, is pretty expensive.
Well, they're not so expensive. As a 2x12, but those are really nice. Jesus, they were just as straight and nice, you know.
Yeah.
And there wasn't hardly a knot in them.
Yeah.
And they were nice lumber.
They ought to be.
But Jesus, that was an awful nice price too.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as a 4x?
Eastman, I forget how many trips you've made up here.
Jesus, I don't know nothing about it.
Well, give me a little estimate.
You got a bigger stove.
Yeah, how about that? You hadn't seen that, had you?
Where'd you pick this one up?
Fellow over Meganope. How old is that?
God, I wouldn't know.
20 years old?
I wouldn't know. Barnard down there has got one that's, well, it's about, it ain't quite as tall as that, just about that high. Might be a little bit bigger. And it's one of them that's got the fan in it.
Yeah?
Siegler. My name's Siegler Barnard.
Yeah.
And, God, you know, well, he got it a year ago. Well, this fall.
You mean new?
Huh?
Bought it new?
Bought it new. And it worked nice last winter. Well, he called me over there. Here, oh, geez, it must be about 6 weeks ago, I guess. They couldn't light it. They wanted me to get it going for him when that other cold spell was on.
Yeah.
A month or 6 weeks ago. Jesus, I couldn't get it to go. I couldn't get no oil into it. Well, Jesus, I took the oil pipe off and got oil into the carburetor, but from the carburetor in, I couldn't get nothing. And of course, it's automatic. It's got that thermostat on it, you know, and automatic control on there, and the magnetic part of it in there that operates it. Well, I had to take it all off and get all down to the bottom of it. And you know, that's, there's a little round pipe in there, a little bit bigger than a lead pencil. And it's hollow, see? And as it raises up, the higher it raises, the more oil goes in, see? And it's hollow up at the top, so that it won't...
You come in, if you want to.
So that it won't siphon, see? And it works up and down. Well, you know that thing was stuck down in there, and that magnet there couldn't draw it up or down?
Oh, really?
Why, Jesus, I monkeyed with that goddamn thing a half a day before I got it so that I could... So that would work in there.
Oh, really?
He was just sort of stuck down there,
yeah,
and it was kind of corroded like right in there.
Yeah.
And there it was.
Yeah.
Well, I got that so it worked, and one thing or another, and by golly, it's been working nice.
And it did that after one season.
Huh? Yeah. You see where it sat over summer, that damn thing got stuck right down in there and kind of corroded. But boy, it's a mess to take that apart.
And, yes. Gee whiz.
Now I'm in a heck of a job over to Barnard's. They got those jalousie windows.
Yeah.
And the wind blows in through them.
Oh, yeah.
So I took the screens off on the inside of the house, and I took plastic. I cut the plastic and I laid it right down on the floor. Then I laid that screen over the top of it. And I pulled them edges up over and taped them on the inside of this screen. See? All the way around. Well, then I put that screen back in. And, geez, you know, with that extra plastic in there, it ain't very thick. But it just makes it bind right in there good and tight. I drive it right in with a hammer in there and turn the hooks on it to hold it in. Then I took my knife and trimmed right off and left about half, 3/4 of an inch on it, right straight around, all the way around. Well, you know, you'd be surprised the difference in that one room by putting them on there like that.
Yes.
I was working out the other day when the wind blew hard.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, when I first started in putting them in out there, I was a shivering.
Yeah.
And you know, before I got them done, I had to take my jacket off. Yeah.
Well, that's what they keep saying about this fuel shortage, you know. If you insulate your house, you won't need much fuel. Well, now, I put these 10 around the...
That makes a lot of difference, too.
Makes a lot of difference.
I put that white tarred paper around my place there.
And you just leave it there?
Well, some of it I left and some of it I took down.
Did you?
I just got it put back up about a week ago.
Yeah. Just in time for the cold spell. That's a little bit too cold for me, Mr. Eastman. I don't, it's all right once you get used to it, but I don't have to have it done.
You and I have been away from the north just long enough so we don't get used to it.
Between spells.
I worked one day for the electric light people to 50 below zero. And how in the devil us fellas ever stood it working out down that cold like that is more than I know.
I didn't think he could.
Yes, it did.
It'd freeze your nose.
Yeah. But you know, you kept busy and you kept your blood circulating, and we was young in them days and it didn't take too much to keep us warm.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was in 20 degree weather one time.
Yeah.
And my nose was numb before I got out of the front yard.
One time when I was a young lad, we lived about 7 miles from the city, and they was putting on special movies down at the theater there. And I went, we lived up on the hill about 2 miles and a half. Well, I went down and stayed with a fellow downtown who was in my same class in school, and we went in a sleigh ride down to see this movie. Oh, there were two sleighs went, and there were probably 20 in each sleigh ride, see. Well, you know, we'd get cold, and Jesus, this other fellow and I'd get off and walk and run, see, and get warmed up. And the rest of them would be on the sleigh, and oh, Jesus, they were freezing, covered up with blankets, one thing and another, and they had quite a lot of straw in the sleigh, you know, for you were in the sleigh rides, probably. And I don't know anything about this girl here because I don't know where she comes from. But when we got home to this fellow's place to stay all night, he hadn't covered up his ears. And one ear was frozen, you know, and it swelled up there. Geez, about twice as big as your ear ought to be.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just from sitting in the movie.
Yeah, no, just from being out in that cold, seeing coming home there, about 7 miles, seven and a half, something like that. And so we went out and got some snow and just rubbed that snow on his ear there, you know, and boy, it'll sting like the old Harry. And he said, well, what about putting some hot water on it? His mother said, no, you want snow on it. So, geez, I kept rubbing the snow on it. And you know, his ear come out all right.
He didn't lose it. But they have done that. They have lost an ear.
Yeah.
Do you ever see anybody who'd lost an ear?
Yeah, but not from that cause. We was on doing threshing one time. He used to go around with the threshing machine, threshing wheat and oats and barley and buckwheat and that stuff. Well, I was on the table. You know what that means.
Yeah.
You had to have this table, see, and they throw the grain onto the table, and the fellow on the table straightens it around so if the fellow feeding the machine can push it in, see, and you take it where they have these bundles where the wheat or oats has been cut with a reaping binder and then bundles. You straighten it around so that the heads go in first, see. Well, I was always quick. You know, with a forker like that, so everybody wanted me to be on the table to straighten that stuff around. Well, you know, the belt from the engine to the thresh machine broke. Well, it knocked me, it come around, you know, and it knocked me right off on the table. And this fellow that was feeding the machine, it hit him right side of the head, and he took his ear right just as clean off as anything. Just, well, you couldn't have cut it off any better if you'd took a butcher knife and just cut it right off. Took it right clean off.
And you was right there.
Geez, I was right on the table. I got knocked off on the table at the same time that it hit him, see?
But he, I guess he's willing to, it's easier to lose a ear than it was something else.
Yeah, Jesus, he could have knocked him right into the machine, you know, Jesus.
You didn't have any guard on the belt.
You couldn't have.
Yeah. No, put a fence post up there.
Oh, I've seen them do that, too, to keep the belt on when the wind blowed. Sometimes the wind would blow, you know, to beat on, and to blow the belt off, and we'd put a fence post up and so to hold the belt on the pulleys.
Wouldn't that take a pretty strong wind?
You'd be surprised. You know, it runs with a cross belt. See, well, then
yeah.
Your cross belt, in the middle of it, it's flat.
Yeah.
And that's what the wind whips.
I'll tell you, that's something.
Yeah.
Mr. Eastman, let me tell you, before you, have you, what you want me to make this for?
Before you what?
How much you want me to make this for?
Jesus, I don't know. I forgot whether I'd been up here before and after you paid me or not.
You came up here last time and we sat here.
Well, I don't want to pay for sitting here.
No, you did something, brother.
My talk ain't worth that much.
How much equipment you got in this?
Huh?
How much did the...
This out here?
Mm-hmm. How much did the thing cost
you? Let me see. Is it down on the quarter? $50, $75, $2, $3. Jesus, that job there cost you about $5.
You know, it's ridiculous, Mr. Eastman. How much they charge for a little piece of pipe? There's no sense.
Jesus.
There's no sense in that.
Well, you know, just here, you know, half inch pipe. It's 52 cents a foot, and two inch pipe is $2.25 a foot. And I've sold lots of 2 inch pipe for about 40-50 cents a foot.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's $2.25 a foot.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. There's no reason for that, is there? There's no reason for that.
And you take your half-inch pipe, it's 52 cents a foot.
Let me tell you, we went over to the beach Saturday, over there, the closest beach, Crescent Beach,
yeah.
70 miles
yeah.
from here. And we got over past Palatka, between Palatka and Hastings, and there were two or three little vegetable places open. One of them was a beautiful one. It was big. They had a little everything. They had cauliflower and collards and
had a sprinkler on it,
onions and cabbage, everything right out of their field there. And we got all that stuff. They charged 20 cents a head for cabbage.
Yeah.
And they charged
well, cabbage, you go to the store, is 20 cents a pound.
Yes, yes. Well, now that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Over there, you see, it just don't get on to them.
Yeah, well, I know where that is, because I've been over through there a lot of times.
Well, it's worth taking a trip.
Sure. You got this too damn much.
Well, that's another trip you made up here, Mr. Eastman.
Oh.
I forget what it was. Now, that's just unreasonable. There's just no... hell, those people had beautiful vegetables.
Did you go on out to Crescent Beach?
Yeah.
They're building it up very much.
Yeah.
I was over there one time. Oh, geez, it must be 12 or 13 years ago. And we were looking for some people over there. It was a relation to Opal. Lives right back of me there. Yeah. We finally found out they lived in one of these Quonset huts. You know what they are? The one side goes straight up and down, and then the roof just comes right around on the other side and right down, all made out of galvanized stuff. Jesus, was way back in the goddamn bushes there, so we had one heck of a time finding it.
I think they're all gone. It's all elegant over there now.
Yeah.
It may not look elegant on the outside, but it's pretty nice inside.
I used to go over there and get 4 or 5 bags of that white sand over to Crescent Beach for somebody come down from the north and want to take some of that white sand back with them.
Yeah.
Take it back for the kids to play in.
Yes.
Used to go over to, that's about the nearest place that you can get that white sand.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
I was over there, was coming back from there one time, had my daughter and my son-in-law and a couple of her kids with us. An armadillo set right side the road. Well, I've heard that if you take and scare one of them, you know, and touch them with a stick or something, that they'll curl right up in the ball. We got out, and I was going to make him curl up in the ball, and I found a stick, and he just kept right on rooting the roots there, you know. And I walked up, putting her up to him, and I touched him with a stick. And when I touched him with a stick, I don't believe there's any two men that could caught him, you know, running. My God, man, that thing could really travel when he got started.
Did you ever see a possum run? They moved too, Mr. Eastman.
I killed a possum down home here a couple months ago.
Yeah, in your garbage?
No, he was in the trash burner where I burned papers. I went out to put some papers in there, was going to burn them, and this goddamn possum come out.
Yeah.
Well, I picked up a stick and gave him a bat.
Yeah. I thought maybe you'd just take him out and eat him.
No, I took and buried him under the orange tree.
Yeah. Well, he got in the wrong place, didn't he? Yeah. Well, they say possums slow. Well, I've seen a possum move.
Yeah.
Haven't you?
Well, I never seen one run very fast. I've seen them just walk.
Oh, they can move. They're not exactly... they're a little awkward looking. Like they... got a ingrown toenail or something. I will tell you, Miss Eason, Barbara thinks that all this business about finding water is just somebody putting on. I want you to tell her just one of those cases. Now, get a new case, Miss Eason, get a case that you did that all over the place.
You never see anybody use a witch stick?
No, I never
have. We used to take either pear or apple or plum, and you take a crotch like that, see? Well, you take it right in your hand, you bend it over this way, and the other hand bend the other one like that, and hold it up so that it sticks up. Mm-hmm. Well, you walk around, you get right over water.
Here you stick, I accept it broke.
He saved that, didn't he?
It just laying there. It dried out.
And you take... you take this right, just like, you take it just like that with that sticking up, see?
Uh-huh.
And you come over water and that thing will turn right down, just about like that, right straight down. You get right over water and it'll point right straight down. And I've hung on to them tight enough so to take the bark right off in your hand and skin the bark right off of the stick, holding it right on there.
Whereabouts was you when it done that? It that strong?
Oh, geez, I've had it in a lot of different places like that.
Forever.
I was over one place one time, and generally, where that starts to turn down, for from there to where that is cleared down is about the distance that you'd have to go down to hit that water.
Oh.
See? And I was on top of one place one time, and it started to go down, and Jesus, and, well, about 10 feet, that went right down like that, you know, to take the bark right off, right in your hands every time. You wouldn't have to go in about 10 feet, but Jesus, it was all rock right there, so that you couldn't dig it out. If it had been soft enough so you could dig it out with a shovel, well, a fella could have dug right down there and got a good well or spring or whatever you mind to call it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then there was one time, yep, right, this was right in the village that I helped build the house, and I put in the plumbing and the wiring and one thing another in it, a septic tank, and the outlet to the septic tank got where that it wouldn't drain off, you know, it wouldn't drain out enough there, so we was going to dig a new hole down and fill it with rock. Well, we finally did fill it with rock. But we got down about, oh, we were down 10, 12 feet, I guess, and we'd been through all different kinds of clay, half a dozen different kinds of clay and stuff. And we struck this rock. It was kind of soft. And this fellow that was working for me says, hand me down the good big bar, he says, and I'll punch this rock and see how solid it is. So I had a big heavy bar in the truck, and I handed it down to him, and where he started a little hole in there, and he kept chipping in that hole, you know, with that bar like that. It had a hole about 3 inches across it, down in there. Jesus, all at once, that bar went right down through it, and the water started coming up. Well, Jesus, here was a 3-inch stream of water, and it was coming up 3 feet high. And it just boiling right up. Well, that fellow thought he was going to get drowned in there, and he used to heard him holler. Well, you could heard him for half a mile, you know. Well, I run and got the ladder. We had a ladder for getting up and down in there. Well, I got the ladder down to him. He got out. Well, you know that filled right up with water, just as high as that, about that 3 foot high. So we went and got big rocks by the truckload and dropped them down in there, and we kind of figured on laying them kind of right around that hole, you know, and right along up, so if we leave that hole up in the middle. And I had thought that the chances are, chances were, that it might pollute somebody's well around there, but by golly, it didn't. We inquired all around and never polluted that darn thing. Mm-hmm. So as far as I know, the water that come in there, when the water come in, the water would go out. So
mm-hmm.
We laid that right up around there with that, and when we got up to so that we could get down in there and not get into the water, we put an 8-inch tile right there and right straight up and laid one right up top of the other, just like that chimney is right there, see?
Mm-hmm.
So right up the middle of that, and you see the water could go down into that tile where one tile sat on the top of the other one.
Mm-hmm.
We took and filled that right up like that and filled it around there with stone. And I've never heard, but what is still working.
Well, now how'd you get started in that, Mr. Eason?
Huh?
How'd you get started into that hole?
How'd you get started into it?
Yeah, we were talking about that water witch.
Well, the water witch didn't have anything to do with that hole.
Well, I didn't think, yeah.
No. No, we just started that hole for an outlet of that septic tank.
Yeah.
If I'd have tried a water witch onto that there, before that, we probably wouldn't have dug there, you know.
Yeah. Mr. Eastman, let me tell you. You remember you put a pipe, a drainage, from the tub in here, and that sink, and it runs clear on out to that corner. You remember that? It's an inch and a half
plastic pipe.
Plastic pipe.
Yeah.
Well, now down there at that trailer, I meant to do that before. I need a little something to drain that off so it won't keep filling up that tub down there.
Yeah. But what you need is dig a ditch down there and put some tile in it.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Or they have that plastic pipe with a hole in the one side of it, you know.
Yeah. Well, yes. It don't matter about that. Yes. Yes. Just so I get a hole there where I get the water out.
That's what that thing was, that tee that I made you that time to go in there. You think I can put that in there, see, and then that makes
it. Well, let me
sure
tell you, let's get
on.
That in there.
Huh?
Let's get that in there, right. And you want a drum for that. I forget now how you want a drum with a head on it.
Yeah.
Well, does that have a head on the other end?
Yeah, but you got to have something that's solid, see, so that when you flush the toilet, it'll stay in there and eat up.
Yes.
See, well, I didn't put that tea on there with that down in there so that your solid all stays on top and your water is in the bottom, see, and then that siphons or goes on out, and you put the tea on there so they won't siphon.
Put the tea on there so the water will go out.
The water will go out and not siphon.
Well, that's right. Well, we just short one step in that. And then it'd be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what do we need? Just a drum? Just the right kind of drum?
Yeah, just a... Well, I had one of them big paint drums. See, there's a top on them.
Yeah.
Sets down over, you know, and then there's a rim that goes around that holds it down on there, see?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that rim, you can throw the rim away, but the top of it, you see, is what you want to go back on there because you want to come into the barrel in the side, like this down, then come out down on the side so that your top will come right down on there, see?
Yeah.
See, so your top will sit right down on like that.
Well... And we couldn't rig up something like that?
Oh, yes, you got a barrel.
Well, I got a barrel. You don't see it?
Okay. Jesus, I went home to dinner, too.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Miss Eve, it's right out there in the garage. I'll be right out there.
$8 and he wouldn't take it $8 a box. That's 2 bushels. He wouldn't take the $8.
Oh, you mean navels?
Navels.
Are oranges down that low? I thought they were high.
No, they ain't that high. Now, Mr. Kidron, the Hawthorne, told me he got plenty of oranges for 2.5 a box. That's 2 bushels.
2.5 a box?
For navel oranges.
Oh, John.
Mr. Kidron, the Hawthorne, really. Really, I can buy them for him for that. But I'll have to pick them.
Yeah.
That's right. 2.5. And them Chinese hunters, he wants $10 a box for them. That's $5 a bushel. He'll never make it. They ain't going to give him that. The lady offered him $8 for each one of them. $8 a box. That's $4 a bushel. She offered him that and he wouldn't take it.
Charged him $4.
$4 a bushel, and you wouldn't take it.
She's fine.
Mm-hmm. You ain't seen no greens, did you, Mr. Marv?
What?
You didn't see no greens, did you?
No, you seen any?
Down there in the field. I got a big bush to get home, about that big around.
Well, now, I'll tell you, John, you're the man we've been looking for. If you can get greens down there, that's fine.
You ain't showed him them greens?
No, I haven't showed him the greens.
You mean, why don't you show him to him?
Well, I...
You mean out here?
They brought some to the house here, somewhere.
I just brought them in there, up there with on the back porch.
Now that's a magician. We got magicians around here.
Yeah, so you got plenty of greens down there. All you got to do is go down there and get them and cook them and eat them. Plenty of them down there. The rutabagas that tall. The rutabagas is that tall.
Yeah.
And down the row, on the other end, they come up nice and made green. But on this end, they're just coming up. Well, I'd like that then.
What in the world wrong with them at this end?
I don't know. That's what I was putting on the one. And this end was the wettest. When you plant on this end, was the wettest. Had the dampest ground.
That's what I thought.
It did. But they, on the other end, where the green come. This end just coming up.
You get that? Do you miscalculate like I do? You know, I do that all the time.
If I didn't know it did a growth on the other end like that, I'd have planted all the other end and leave this no.
Yeah.
But I didn't know.
Well, what you done was leave the other end and plant this end.
That's right.
You got some little cabbage growing down this end.
Yeah, got a little cabbage coming up too.
Yeah.
And collards.
Does that all come up since the rain?
That's all. Since it rained. But if there's some more rows on the outside there, they ain't come up at all. I don't believe the seed was no good.
Hmm.
You know where I was looking?
Yeah.
Ain't nothing
yeah.
come up out there. We had some more rows out there on our edge, but then I ain't seen none of them come up. I believe it was bad seed.
Well, you can't take the seed back, can you?
No, sir. I'm going to plant them in that dirt. It wasn't no good. That's why they didn't come up. You know, it's a ball over there to my home. Got about 8 acres of peanuts. And it was made just for the cold.
Yeah.
And I went along there this morning, I stopped by his field and I pulled up two or three bunches. Man, talking about some good peanuts. Them some good solid green peanuts.
Yeah.
And I don't know what in the world he letting them stay there for. I'm going to ask him what he going to do with them. Listen. It looked like he ain't going to give them.
Peanuts this time of year?
Yes, ma'am.
Just late, aren't they?
Yes, right.
Hell, say, peanuts will grow all through it. I mean, up to frost, I guess.
You know, you can plant them in February. Plant them in February. And the cold will kill them clean back to the ground. And when you look again, they'll be done put out and coming out there just as pretty as they were before.
Now, what about that?
Mm-hmm.
It'll just kill the top of them, you know.
Well, you better plant some peanuts in February, then.
Sure, right.
But it ain't far off.
It sure ain't. It's coming on. I'm rooting some pear trees. I do decide on them this month.
Yeah.
Just as much you root them pear trees.
Yeah.
Ain't you got a pear tree out there?
Yeah.
Where would you root them around here?
Anywhere in the ground. Anywhere you want it to be, in the ground.
Yeah.
You got a space out there you want one, I cut it and stick it there now, and I guarantee you it'll live.
Yeah.
I water it, when I go to leave, and then you water it about once every 2 weeks. And I guarantee you, you see a pear tree there, and in the spring come, it'll put right out.
Well, let's put some in.
Yes, ma'am.
I tell you, Don, you can't get around them pears. If you don't sell them, you can eat them.
Oh, man, you can put them in some jars, too.
Them things is hard to beat.
It sure is. I got a heap of them jarred up now, but the lady had a lady to put them up for me, and she put too much sugar or something. Jesus, don't eat them pears. All that sugar. Yeah, I don't know. They had got good and ripe, too. You don't supposed to let them get good and ripe.
They're better when they're not too ripe.
That's right.
They're the best things we have, John.
Yes,
your
ma'am.
Pears.
That's right. They're the best ones.
Yes,
ma'am. You got some over there.
Yeah, I got them whole 2 acres in nothing but pear trees.
But they don't produce the same every year.
This year, they didn't have nothing. But that last cold got them. But it's been like it was the year before last. I didn't know where it came. I was selling them so fast and going and selling them. And people coming after them. One man used to come after them, Mr. Clemon. He died. He always get 10 or 12 bushels every year.
John, you ought to have a lot of, you ought to be pretty well to do with as much money as you take in.
I owe so many bills. That's what got me. I ran and got too much of debt one time. One time ain't too much of debt, it'll wake on you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, sure did. I owe one fella about, I owed him $2,500 one time. Nothing. I owed 40-some hundred.
You did?
That's when I had my home built, see? Yeah. That was the year when President Kennedy got killed.
Yeah.
And I've been paying, see, I paid down on it, and then I paid long on it. For having that house built and everything.
Yeah.
And a pump, well of water. And then we got everything in there, in the house, you know.
Yeah.
You got a deep freeze and everything else.
All of that, yes, ma'am. Frigidaire, deep freeze. All that, they got all that there. And then they're still saying they want more.
Oh,
you got a dishwasher?
No, got a clothes washer. Ain't got near a dishwasher. But I got the sink in the kitchen and the hot water and the cold water.
Oh, have you?
Chill.
And that puts you behind, though.
Yeah, you're right. Then when I get ready to pay light bill, look what it is. $22 and something yesterday for light bill.
And that's not much compared to some of them.
That's right. That washing machine and that water. And then they got a TV that they just turn on. They don't hardly turn it off.
Oh, really?
Then they got a combination there. And they turn that on. It's on then it's on.
A stereo.
Stereo. Got the tapes to juke in it. And then got records to play on it and all. So. And a radio, all that combined. And them big old things sit down on the floor. All of that, they got all of that, and then they still ain't satisfied. What's the matter with them?
You talking about your family?
Who's the worst?
Yeah?
Who's the worst one, hardest to satisfy?
Them girls.
Yeah.
Them boys, they go ahead with any kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they want that music.
Do they?
Yeah, they want that music.
Yeah.
All the time.
All the time. Way in the night, soon in the morning. They want that. I told them sometimes, y'all go to bed and let me sleep and rest. I got to wake. Y'all just go to wake and stay around all day.
But they don't do it.
Yeah,
so you ain't the judge of what they play.
No, they play James Brown records, the blues and all that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I told him, you only got never buy a church record and play a church song sometime. He liked the blues. You don't like spiritual much. I said, well, you will one day.
Yeah. That's right. And if you put it on, they wouldn't care for it.
That's right. That's what I wanted, they wouldn't care for that. The CD, ain't that something?
Yeah.
It'd go the opposite way all the time. It wasn't that bad about that boy the horse on.
Oh, that was.
Man, if he done that, I don't want him around me. I ain't joking. Mm-mm. That boy used to come to my house and sit down with my boys and sit down and sit around my place.
Oh, did he?
He sure did. That same boy, what they got for that.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he done it or not, but if he did, I don't want him around me. Mm-mm.
Was that the Howard boy?
No, I'm the Rutley boy.
They don't know what got into him.
You're sure right. I don't either. He never did act like he'd be that kind of fella. He used to be around my house with my boys all the time there.
Yeah. He just wiped them out, didn't he?
He sure did. If he done that, he sure did. My son used to stay with his mother. My older son, And she beat the car all to pieces, and shot holes all in him, and said if he got to him, she'd have killed him. That's what his mother said about my son. Beat that car. If you'd have seen that car, you'd have cleared. Nobody couldn't have beat up a car and shot it up like that. And that's what she done to him, and he run through the woods and hid.
Now wait a minute. This boy's mother?
Mm-hmm. But they got over there for killing those folks. His mother done all of that. Sure did.
Even when your boy was over there?
Yeah, man. He was staying there with her. And he was engaged to get married and everything. But after all that come up, he got away from over there. He come from there then. That boy, that same boy mother, beat his car all to pieces. It cost him about $300 to get it fixed back. Glasses and everything. Broke out every glass out of it. Bust out every light. Shot all through the fender.
What was it?
A rifle. And then broke the rifle all to pieces and threw it up on top of the car and she leave it. People, I'll tell you, it's something else.
That was your boy's car?
Yes, it was. They arrested her for it. And put it in game of jail. He told him to go ahead and turn her loose, let her go. He'll get what she's looking for up the road to somebody else.
Oh, really?
So he let it in. So finally, she gave him another old car. The old car wasn't worth 2 cents. She gave him another old car in the place of it. An old car. He sold old car. It wasn't no good.
And it was her son.
But killed those folks, you think.
That whole family.
Yeah, pretty rough. Her dad lived in Rutler. Jim Rutler. That's her daddy.
You know him?
Yeah, I've been knowing him for years. He ain't never done nothing to nobody. But put them little boys in. See, he care out a crew. He a contractor. He care out a crew, and if they don't work, he tell them, don't get on my truck no more. You can get on there if you want to. Them little boys and girls. He'd pull them down and spank them and turn them loose. That's all I ever know him to do, anybody. If they ain't got work, don't get on the truck. See, they go out there and play and more work and they get to the field.
Yeah.
You see, I'm just hauling dead weight. Don't get on my truck if you ain't got work. When he carry to the field, he means for you to work that day.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
No. No, he worked for Mr. Gagger for years.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, that's Mr. Gagger, right-handed buddy.
When he's over at...
Over at Fort McCoy.
Fort McCoy, way back there.
When he was working in Tim time. That's right. And then he worked for Mr. Gagger a heap after he had come over to sister. He sure did. His name is Jim Rutley.
Yeah. Well.
They call him Scoopy. He worked for Mr. Whittington for years. You know Mr. Whittington?
Down at Magnite?
No, his brother.
Oh.
His brother, up to Hawthorne. You know his brother, don't you?
Oh, has he got a brother at Hawthorne?
You mind Mr. Dick? Yeah. Mr. Whittington. He used to run the big restaurant there in Hawthorne before that four lane come through there.
Uh-huh.
That big restaurant right across on that side, that was his restaurant. And that big old packing house, that's where he used to pack all his vegetables and stuff he'd raise. Mr. Whittington used to be a big head man. He had things.
He must have been a big heart.
Had a big head man. He had a seven time steel of his own, quarters, two or three big quarters, and cows and land. That pine timber just laid on. And to tell me he lost everything he had, went broke. Mr. Whittington's brother was away from Mr. Huff.
He went broke.
Say his brother up there went broke. All he got now is just a little home spot for his house. I don't see how he could have done that, but to say he sure did.
Vegetables, you reckon?
Huh?
Vegetables, you reckon?
That's right. Vegetable farmer, he was.
How to break 'em?
Yes, sir. He had raised cabbage, that old other stuff. What's it called, that old stuff? Broccoli. He reeled all that kind of stuff. Man, his beans. Great. Goodness of God. You could pick down two rows of beans from here to the other wall in your house over here on two rows. And if you wouldn't have a crate and a half of beans, you'd get down on the water. He used to raise them. Cucumbers. And man, they met the food with them watermelons. I don't know. I think they got it. But one man in Hawthorne don't fail to make money. You'll never guess who he is.
Sid Martin.
Mm-mm. Sid Martin ain't got no time with this man.
I'd love to know.
He got a brother living on his lake. He can just guess that out.
Yeah, on his lake.
Uh-huh.
I bet he can't guess it,
John. No.
You'll have to
you know a man run a garage in Orange Lake? Work on cars?
Yeah.
What is his name?
Well, let me see.
You know he's late.
What is his name, John?
Bob Bickle.
Oh, hey, he got a brother up there?
Yeah. Old Bickle.
He has.
That's the man that makes the money over water, man. He makes so many $1,000s a year. And then he give the pasture that same color pillar I was telling you about.
Yeah.
He after he get together, see, he do all his hauling and gathering for him.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets through, he turn the pasture over to him, and he makes $1,000s off the pasture after he give it to him. And he take a trip north every year after he gets through.
Just for a trip.
Oh, yeah. You got plenty of money now.
Bob Baker's brother. Well, Bob Baker, I thought he was a big performer, but he ain't much
compared. He ain't got no time with that man up there. You know, he was a deputy sheriff for about 7 or 8 years up there. Awesome. Talking about sweet potatoes. Now, that's a man who knows how to raise a sweet potato, too, don't you forget.
Oh, I wish I'd known him
man,
a little earlier.
Man, that man knows how to raise some sweet potatoes. And they sent me there to get him. I was peddling along in there. And he was the police there. And I tell me, he said, go by the house. How many bushes you want? I'd tell him. Go by the house and look in that pile on that side and get as many bushes as you want. And keep count of them and come back and pay me. And I'd get him and go tell him and come back and pay him. And he wasn't charging but $2 a bushel for the sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
That would have charged me for them.
Charge you for them.
I was selling them for $7 and $8 a bushel.
John.
Well, that's what I say. You ought to be well to do.
But as fast as I'd get the money, I'd owe it to the other people. I had to give it to them, so I just that just kept me from doing it. And my wife told me the other day, she said, you sure you're crazy. I said, what's that? Say, if you owe a man $100, you pay him $50 and put the other $50 up. I said, well, I love to pay my debt to jam up.
Are you just paying the whole
$100? I'll be paying them jam up and keep up with them. If I owe you $100 a month, I'm going to try to pay you that. If I see where I can, I'm coming and tell you before the time. That's right.
How'd you peddle them things, John?
I'd go around to the stores, sell them, and around the people's house.
Oh, yeah.
I'd sell a whole lot of them to the stores for $8. Then when I peddle, I don't know what I'd get for that bushel, but I know it would be more than $8. You know, when you're peddling, you know you're getting to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't put too many on the scale, you know, the radium pounds.
I'll say that again.
I say, if you peddle out a bushel, just break it and peddle out of it.
Yeah.
You'll make more money and you'll be able to send them off to the store.
Yeah.
But you can sell them to the store for about $8. That's wholesale. But retail them, you get about, you know, I imagine you make about $12 or something over them.
You put them on the scale.
And you retail them, right?
But you don't put too many in the scale.
That's right. You know, they sell by the pound.
Yeah.
You got to figure out your pound to make it. Figure out how many pounds in the bushel, and then you can sell them for so much a pound. You come out ahead of that $8.
Mm-hmm. That's almost selling by the piece, ain't it?
That's right. Sometimes two or three potatoes weigh 4 pounds, five.
Yeah. I brought up raising sweet potatoes, and we was glad to get a dollar out of the field.
You know, that's what Mr. Baylor told me. He said he could take his truck and go up north up in Georgia, on the other side in the Georgia, another place it's called, and he said he'd go right in the field now and get them for $2 and a half.
Yeah.
That's what he told me. He said he'd go up there and go in the field and get them for $2.50.
Yeah.
But I never even went to help
you. You know, the beauty of that is you don't have to put up with all the weather and everything.
You sure don't.
You can go in there, and if you know potatoes,
that's right.
Yeah, you just peel them and take a bite and see if they're sweet.
That's right.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah, that's it. He went up in Georgia and got about 3 or 4 loads and brought them back. Sold them for $6 and $8 a bushel.
Mm-hmm.
He sure did. And then he took his truck. He had a little Dodge truck with dual wheels, a ton of, I think they call it, a ton jog. And he'd bring that thing back just as long as he'd get them bushel baskets up on there.
Now, they didn't mind you peddling around by the house.
No, sure didn't. If you raise your own, you can do it now. But you got the rhythm. You can't be Bonham and doing it.
Oh, is that the difference?
Mm-hmm.
You can't go Bonham and then peddle them.
That's right. Unless you got a license. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to have no license. Anything you read, you don't have to have no license to fill it in the state of Florida.
Anywhere
in the state of Florida. Now, if you go up around the coast to some of them people's store, they can run you away from there and run you out of the city limit if they want to. But they can't handle you from selling around from house to house. One place I'm at, this store stopped me though, in Daytona. You know where that is? Hmm. I was around there selling. Told me I had to put up $200 to peddle there. I said, well, these are my own stuff I raised. I got my paper here from the courthouse. So, oh no, you can't peddle unless you get buy something here for $200. Some kind of paper. So I moved. I went on down the street, and the colored fella had a big yard in his house and things. He used to drive right in my yard here, John, and say as long as you want, and nobody ever bothered you. I drove in that gate and started saying, man, that police just kept going by, and them people were flocking into that truck.
And nothing that police could do.
Nothing he could do, because I owned another man's property. I wasn't on the street or the city property.
He could sell, or you could sell anything you want to on your own property.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I still think you ought to be pretty well to do.
Yeah, I done all of that. I'm in a minute, please, the city.
Well, you just about got.
But the last time I went with a big load with a colored fill up to Columbia, South Carolina, I tell you the truth, we didn't make enough money off that load of watermelon for nothing. Watermelon was high until we got there. And we got there, man, just took that load of watermelon. We had about 800 watermelon on that truck. And he took them watermelons for $380. Out of all that work we had done, then we had to clean up and unload them up on the market. It was high before we went up there now. But when we got there that day, they said, the bottom line fell out too on the watermelon. We was in it. We wasn't going to bring them back. We could have bought watermelon cane them way up there up in Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Sure could have.
Yeah. Cost money to move that stuff, don't
That's
it?
That's right. It sure do.
Now, you've always had a little transportation.
That's
always.
Right. Always did. Kept a little something to go with.
Except now.
Look like I can't get nothing else. I got balled up too much in too much of debt.
John, I thought you already paid for your house.
No, I've been paying on that house ever since President Kennedy got killed.
Yeah.
I ought to be bought too.
When is that?
I ought to be bought too.
That's 63, John.
Yeah.
After over 10 years.
I've been paying on it ever since then. So now, I'm already in asking for my balance on that. I don't know exactly how much it is.
Yeah.
But I know they keep sending me them envelopes and things, you know. I had to send that money to, what's the name of that thing? Way up north somewhere.
Every month?
Yeah. FHA the one built the house for me. FHA. And so they used to take the money, they ain't no killer, right up in the post office. But after a while, they told me they don't pay no more there, they mail it to them. And they gave me that signed envelope and thing to put it in and everything. So I had to mail that money way up in Missouri. I believe it's Missouri.
That's funny.
That'd be, I had to mail that money every month.
What'd happen if you don't mail it?
I guess write me or come see about me or something.
Take your house back.
That's right.
You peddled around in different places.
I sure have, yes, sir. I had a good truck then. I ain't got nothing now. You know, truck I got, I don't believe to pass inspection this time.
Yeah.
I don't believe to pass. It might fool me.
You went playoff as far as Daytona.
Me and my wife used to go there twice a week. We used to go there twice a week. Yes, sir.
Well, she can handle vegetables.
Yes, sir. She won't drive no more. She quit driving. She got a driving license and everything. She just quit driving. and keep them up. It's more dry. I don't know why. And she used to go in our land, rent a garden. She used to go all them places. But she got so she just said, I know it's bad, she said. So it don't appear. She's even more dry.
Yeah. Well, I understand that too.
She won't dry no more, I know that.
You got pretty good sales down there, gentlemen?
Good sales, yes, sir. Like I tell you about that boy got them peanuts on the side of that road. I could dig them peanuts up there and pick them. Okay, I could pay somebody $1.50 a crate to pick them. Then I could take them peanuts and come over there and get me about $7 a crate for them.
Now?
Right now. Yeah, buy that stuff over there. See, nobody, everybody over there got good jobs. They don't believe in no farming or nothing. Excuse me. They don't believe in no planting. They got them good jobs and they don't worry about it.
Oh, I see.
Well, maybe he'd sell them to you.
You just
I'm going to see that fella and ask him. I'm going to get them peanuts.
You know him?
Yeah. My wife's sister, boy.
Oh, your nephew.
That's right, that's my wife's nephew. She is aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my wife is his aunt. Now, the first peanuts he planted, we dug them for, pulled them for him and picked them. But these, you know, I don't know what he letting them stay there for.
Well, the weather got them eventually?
It done killed the top of them, but you pull it up, the peanuts is as good under there as they was when they pulled it, hit them.
Well, he no hurry then.
Man, we got to get them up, though, don't they? After all, that vine will go bad.
Yes.
And then you can't pull it up. See, you had to pull them up by hand.
Oh, and then you have to just dig every one of them up.
That's right, and you're in trouble like that.
That'll take a while.
That's right.
But the peanuts wouldn't be hurt.
No, they ain't hurt the peanuts. They don't have to do it.
You sell those down, Daytona?
Yeah, but you can sell them right in Gainesville. You can sell them anywhere, peanuts, any time of the year. You can sell them right now in Gainesville.
Hmm.
Get about 25 cents a quart. That's about 25 cents a pound. You can sell all you can get there for about 25 cents a pound.
And that's still green.
That's right. That's right. I know a man in Micanopy would take two crates right now if I had him on there. I forget his name. But anyway, we come out to the tractor that day right by his field. And we come between them stores, where we got down between them stores, the time. We live in the house right back of there, that trailer house.
Mm-hmm.
He always buy five or six crates for him every year.
Hmm.
I carried him one this year, that's all.
That's
one,
all you
one
could,
bushel.
All you had.
That's all I could get.
Well, gee whiz, John, when you got customers.
You ought to keep them going, man.
You ought to keep them going.
What time it is, man?
Well, it's time to go over there and dig them peanuts.
It sure is.
You think we ought to just go on over there and start
better,
in on them?
Better see him before we go in there.
Well, he'd see us out there.
Yeah, I know it. That's the time. It would be all this, wouldn't it? What time it was?
It's about 12:35.
Oh, I better go.
What you got to do?
I got to go to work. 1 o'clock, 1:30 anyway.
What you got
to
do?
Paint and dig a pipe hole. Get up to the restaurant. Dang Citra. Nobody at Hendrick's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the man just had a big new trailer house put in there. And they got to dig a hole and put them pipes into the septic tank. Then he got to connect his water. He said, he ain't got nothing there. He can't stay there. He got to have it too. So he begged me to come here in the season. So he'll pay me $2 an hour. That ain't much money, but I'll have to wait for it. They're going to help him a little bit. And he saved me all aluminum beer cans. He see he sell beer and stuff then.
Yeah.
And he saved me all them aluminum cans. All that beer you sell, he picked them out and saved them from me. Sometime I get about 100 or 125 pounds. I get 1,500 pounds from him. He saved them from me every week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every Monday, I'm supposed to pick them up every Monday. He give me them, but he said he'll pay me $2 an hour to come help him do that.
Well, you can't hardly turn him down, can you?
I sure can't. Nothing he do that.
And you get 15 cents?
15
a
cents
pound?
A pound. For that old foil paper, too. You know that old foil?
Yeah.
And them old pie plates?
Yeah.
You pay that for them, too.
I got several pounds of them right over there.
Yeah, you're right.
What are you going to do for a helper, John?
Over there?
Yeah.
He said he's going to help do the work.
I mean, what are you going to do for your regular man that's been helping you?
But old Henry?
Mm-hmm.
I met there this morning and he's going to the doctor. I didn't know he was hurting that bad right on. He had been down there and talked to me the other day. He looked like he's doing pretty good. But he had to go back to the doctor. The city people sent him to the doctor. You know, he was working for the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent him to the doctor.
Well, now, what's he doing? Is he working for the city or working for you?
He's working for the city.
I thought he'd been working for you.
When he got hurt. You talking about Henry?
Yeah.
He was working for the city. In Ocala.
Well, he wasn't working for the city of Ocala when y'all put in his garden.
Oh, no. Me and him plant the garden, and he hoped and everything. Me and him supposed to be together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I thought y'all was working together.
Yeah, sir. That's right. Yes, sir.
But he left you?
No, he had been working for the city long before then. And he had never quit the city. He ain't never quit the city. He'd had days, he'd get days off. So many days, each one of them gets so many days off.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, that's the way they would work down there.
So on his days off?
Yeah.
He'd help you. I see. Well, he's a good helper.
But he said, no, he didn't think he'll work no more, no. Because he done got hurt up. If he gets better, he said he ain't got to do it work for himself.
Well, where does he do the best, working with you or working for the city?
I don't know myself. I don't know how I do it. He's done pretty good in anything he did.
For the city?
Yeah. And I think the city people, they offered him some money. The point of getting hurt, and he wouldn't take the money. Told him that he's hurt and he don't know whether he'll get real or not. He wouldn't take the money. They owe him all. $4,500. He wouldn't take it.
How come?
I don't know.
I'd love to have it, wouldn't you?
I'd have sure got it. And it's been going on somewhere else the week if I didn't want to work there. He wouldn't take that money.
Now, that was down Ocala where he got buried alive.
That's right. That's right. There ain't no killer.
And that down there in the street?
Yeah, that's right.
They went down in under in the
yeah, they dug up. You see, they dig them holes on them ends of them things, and you go down in there. Down in that little round hole.
Yes.
And when you get out under there, that thing got a big opening down, then you go under there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're digging back.
That's right.
Well, they didn't wall.
That's right. They didn't wall them then, but they wall everyone now. They say before they let them go in them. Wall it up before they go down in there. They won't fall in.
But now the other fella's the one that got the most of it.
That's right. He stayed there 4 hours. He stayed under that ground 4 hours.
Well, he was out there in front.
Yeah.
Well, now how did it get Henry?
Henry fell over in there, kind of helped dig the man out. Hurt his back. He fell over in there and hurt his back, trying to get the man out.
So they had to get him by the leg and pull him out.
They had to get him out and the man after that. That's sir. Had to get both of them out.
Now that was pretty hard to do, wasn't it?
You're right.
And Henry's tall.
And he sure is. Rumped him down in there.
Does Henry owe money?
Owe money? A little bit, not much. He don't owe much like me. He bought his place and he paid for that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he been paid for that. He waked that old fan and peered away on the... Nobody could get that white pretty fan over here on Thor Johnson Station. That old fan mine.
Or Johnson Station.
Yeah, he waked there for years in the night. He had a job, he'd wake in the night. We had to make that pretty white fan, you know, and haul it out and say, they sell that fan. The mix with cement. So.
Well, he's the kind of miner to start with. He ought to get buried alive, ought he?
He sure ought to.
He ought to. He ought to know what to expect, John.
You're right. But the other man, the one was down under there showing up, and he's going to get him out and fill a wean there, too. Hurt his back.
Are you telling him we miss him?
Yes, my sure is.
Well, I wish you'd brought him over here, but he was at the...
He was going to the doctor's morning, yes. I started to call him last night. He got a phone to his house and everything. I started to call him last night and ask him would he come with me, but he was gone and I went up there. I didn't call
him. Well,
I
declare, I'm sorry about that. I wish he'd got it. I wish he'd come over.
You can tell him that you got something coming up in that garden.
I got to tell him. Yes, well, sure, yeah.
He's
been
missing out on
No, he won't miss. He'll get some. He wanted to come over with me. He wanted to come over here on Saturday gone.
Oh, I didn't. Yes.
And all that month, his wife went off and leave the little children there with him. And he said he couldn't come off and leave them. So that got that little bit there for Saturday.
Oh, I see. She got ahead of him.
Yeah, she got away from there. She got a job in Oak Hill. And she had to wake Sunday. Mm-hmm.
Both of them working?
No, he ain't waking, she is.
I mean, they was both
up. Both of them was waking, yeah. Yeah, both of them was waking.
Gee whiz. Well, now, they ought to be getting ahead, oughtn't
they? They had done got ahead till he got hurt. Down on them. You know, when that much go to rolling by and you done got hurt or something, it won't take long to get you behind paying the bills. He hadn't long bought that new car his wife driving, though.
Uh-oh.
He hadn't long bought that.
And just one person working,
that did tick up all of that.
Yeah. Puts a strain.
Well, I better go. I got to get enough to get some more food stamps.
Well, what do you let me see. Is there Faye? What is it? What do you need? You better put your order in while John's here.
What you got growing over at your house, John?
You ought to get down there.